We're here at the Mitchell Library.
Mitchell Library, yes. One of the largest libraries in Britain, I think.
Graham McRae Burnett is a creature of habit.
So we're actually going in the back entrance.
Why is that?
I think a lot of writers have their little rituals. So I always come in the back door and leave by the front door.
He likes to write in the same place too.
Somebody is sitting on my desk.
Oh.
The second gentleman there, that's where I write.
But that's not all. He also needs to shut out the world around him.
So I've just put some headphones on and I listen to the sound of falling rain. It's probably a bit odd in Glasgow because you don't normally need to put on headphones to listen to the sound of falling rain. But it just kind of blocks the world out.
And it works. With only his second novel, Graham McRae Burnett has been shortlisted for the Man Booker. His bloody project tells the story of three brutal murders in a remote Scottish village in the 1860s.
My name is Roderick John McRae, and I have no wish to absolve myself of responsibility for the deeds which I have lately committed. I shall begin by saying that I carried out these acts with the sole purpose of delivering my father from the tribulations he has lately suffered. The cause of these tribulations was our neighbour, and it was for the betterment of my family's lot that I have removed him from this world.
So, from the outset, the question is not who done it, but why. The story is told through a series of documents, including the murderer's own memoir, witness statements, medical reports, and newspaper articles.
Because they're presented with different accounts of the same events, it becomes necessary for the reader to make up their own mind about Roddy McRae's motivations, whether he's insane or not, and I think that's a very engaging process for readers.
Published by a tiny independent company with just two full-time staff, his bloody project was slumbering in obscurity until the prize came calling.
I certainly wasn't making a living before this, so I was doing odd jobs, anything that would pay a few quid. So I'm certainly hopeful that I'll be able to call myself a full-time writer now. It's completely transformed my writing career.
And that's something Deborah Levy knows about only too well. 4 years ago, she was struggling to find a publisher. Then she was shortlisted for the prize and hasn't looked back since. Her new novel, Hot Milk, is about a young woman and her mother, and is set in the sweltering sun of southern Spain. And I've come to a tapas bar to meet her.
I know the landscape in Almería, where Hot Milk is set, very well. I've been going there for years with my family. I guess that I've borrowed from Henry James and E.M. Forster, who took their American and British characters out of everything that was familiar and destabilized them by placing them in Europe.
The complex relationship between a mother and her daughter is at the heart of the novel.
I waded into the sea up to my belly button, which is the oldest human scar, and discovered I was crying. My mother had finally succeeded in breaking me. I knelt down in the sea, my hands covering my eyes like they did when I wept as a child.
Aristotle told us that all politics start in the family, and I think that's true. I don't think the family is just a domestic subject. It offers a very rich menu to explore our inner worlds and extreme emotions, extreme love, extreme hate.
You're the mother of two daughters. Have they read it?
They have read it, and they were very amused by the relationship between mother and daughter. I have to say, it doesn't resemble my relationship at all with my own mother or with my daughters, but there's a little bit of myself in every character I write.
At 220 pages, Hot Milk is the shortest book on the list this year.
Do I value brevity? I don't want to be bored. You know, you can't pack a lot into a sentence.